1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says this: Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that I get to share this message today. I thank you that I get the honor and the privilege of standing in this pulpit and sharing your word. I pray that you would touch my words. Let my words be few, your words be powerful. But most of all, let it touch the hearts of the people that are here in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Today I want to talk to you about no matter what. Turn to somebody next to you and say, no matter what. Now right now, that person's going, no matter what? Going, well, no matter what you going to do? No matter what, no matter what. Everybody say, no matter what. I'm going to keep it simple today. I'm going to keep it simple because I know we got food that's going to be very distracting. I know we've got a great day outside that is gorgeous. And some of us are sitting there thinking, you know what, I got to go home and decorate. I got to do this, got to do that. So I'm going to keep it simple. But one of our foundations that we build on here at Calvary Temple is discover your purpose. We want to discover our purpose. Each of us have our own individual callings in life. We have our own individual things that we feel like God has called us to do, right? Now, some of us, we sit there and we search for years. And we ask, okay, and for the first part of our life, for the first 20, 25 years of our life, we're sitting there going, okay, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Some of us takes a little bit longer. We get about 40 years into it and we're going, I still don't know what I'm here for. So how many of y'all are there? Some of us may be there. But the thing is, we want to discover our purpose. We want to discover what God has for us. We want to discover why we were made. Again, we were created on purpose for a purpose. We call it sometimes, we call it many different things. We call it finding ourselves. How many of y'all have ever said that? I'm going to find myself. Well, where'd you lose yourself? I'm going to find myself. Or maybe you sit there, we call it discovering our purpose, or what am I meant to do? Or who am I meant to be? Right now we have an identity crisis in the world. Because people are so confused, they don't know who they are. This is totally off my notes, but let me tell you something. The most important thing is not to know who you are, but whose you are. You were created by God for a purpose. You were created on purpose for a purpose, and God has got you here for a reason. And you belong to Him. Jesus Christ paid the price for everything that we, for every single person that's in this room. He paid the price for all of us. Even in our relationship with God, we are searching for meaning and purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. You are a part of a grand design that God has planned out in this world. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're important. Some of y'all are going, I ain't telling them that. Turn the person on your second choice and say, you important too. You are important to God. He has got you in a position where only you can take care of it, take care of certain things. You are a part of that grand design. You fit into His plan in a specific place that only you can fit into. Some of us, we sit there and go, you know what, I don't fit in anywhere. I have no talent. I have no abilities. I have nothing that I can hand out. I have nothing that I can do for God. But God created it sort of like a little sprocket, little gear. If you go inside of an engine for a car and take that one gear out, now it may even still run, but it's not going to run smoothly, and it's not going to run efficiently, and it's not going to carry out the purpose that it was created for. You are that gear. You take that one gear and pull it out, and God's design is not complete. It's sort of like a puzzle. How many of y'all like puzzles? I like putting together puzzles sometimes. My brother is at home sitting doing one right now. But the thing is, if you leave that piece out, how many of you have ever lost a piece to a puzzle? How frustrating is that? Are you ready to yell at somebody? Did the dog eat it? Or are you sitting there looking at your kids going, what did you do with that puzzle piece? And you start going off on them, and next thing you know, you find it underneath your leg because it fell down in your seat or something like that. Listen, without that last piece, the puzzle is not complete. Without you carrying out your purpose that God has created you for, God's plan is not complete. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to carry out what he has called us to do. There are things that God desires for every Christian on earth today, though. There are things that he desires for every person in here. Certain things that he wants for every person. Now, not everybody can sing. How many of you are sitting next to somebody that can't sing? No, don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Okay? So not everybody can cook. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can build stuff. Listen, if I try to build something, it does not work out. If I try to create something, sometimes it does not work out. If I try to decorate, Lord have mercy, I am not a decorator. That's the reason why I'm going to show up next Sunday at 2:30, and I'm going to put together a tree, and I'm going to say, okay, where you want me to move it? That's all I can do. Because I've told Debbie and I've told Amy both, I am not a decorator at all. How many of you are not decorators? Okay, most of the men and a couple of the women going, okay, yeah, I understand. But God has a purpose for every single person, and there are certain things that he wants for everybody. There are certain things that God has created every one of us to do. Parts of his will that he wants active in every single person, in every single one of us. On this weekend before Thanksgiving, I want to share with you the will of God for every single person that's here. No great revelation, no great hidden mystery. Not a big message where you may go, you know what, I never, ever heard that. Because you probably heard these things that he wants in your life, all your life. But I want you, it's just going to be straight out of the book, of the will of God today. If you understand me, say I do. First thing that God wants for every single person is God desires joy for you. God desires joy. Joy. Now, joy is an amazing emotion. Joy is an amazing emotion. It completely changes the atmosphere when somebody comes in very joyful, right? Like the entire room can be sitting there looking like they've been sucking on a pickle for about 24 hours. I can't believe we got to sit here and do all this kind of stuff. He's singing that song again. But you bring one person in here that has joy in their heart and joy in their life, and they're happy to be there, and they've got that joy bubbling over, then it changes the atmosphere. I had a pastor once say that we are not called to be a thermometer, we're called to be a thermostat. We are there to set the atmosphere of the room, not to adjust to it. Oh, come on, y'all missed a great opportunity right there. Let me say it again. I'm going to give you another chance. We are called to change the atmosphere, not adjust to it. Because there's plenty of times where we walk into work and the atmosphere is not great. There's plenty of times where we walk into a situation where it's not a good situation. And we have a choice. We can either conform to the way that the world is, conform to the way that the situation is, or we can bring that joy in with us. If you understand me, say I do. I'm gonna make y'all talk to me today. Listen, joy is a pure and powerful emotion. It causes things to happen all around us when it shows up in our lives. When you have joy in your life, the day seems better, right? When you have joy in your life, the sun seems a little bit brighter. When you have joy in your life, the colors just seem more brilliant, more powerful, and it looks so great around. I mean, all these things look amazing. The colors look better. Those days when you wake up, there are those days when you wake up and you just know, today's going to be a good day. Today's going to be an awesome day. How many of y'all have ever woken up and just known, you know what, today's going to be a good day. I'm going to have a good time. We're going to have a great time at church, or we're going to have a great time at school. We're going to have a great time at work, whatever it is. And you're like, today's going to be a good day. How many of y'all ever had those kind of days where you just wake up in a good mood? And you've got that joy, and you walk around, and all of a sudden everybody else in the family is going, what are you smiling for at 6 o'clock in the morning? Because you're not supposed to smile that early. Your face will break. You automatically start getting up, and you start quoting Shakespeare. It's like you get up, and you start going, Oh, the sun doth shine so brightly, and the colors are so bright and beautiful around me. I doth look it through the window, and I have no idea what else to say. But you sit there and you start quoting Shakespeare, and you start quoting all these things, and things just seem great. And you start saying, "Oh Lord, I doth bless thee today for thy great bounty in my life." I don't know why every time I quote scripture, it sounds like an Englishman or something. I have no idea. It just seems right. I get it's just one of those things. But many of us don't find that joy until a little bit later in life. How many of y'all live with somebody like that? Don't raise your hand. You live with somebody that they don't find joy until maybe that first cup of coffee. Or they don't find joy until they've been awake for about an hour and they get the sleep rubbed out of their eyes and they're actually watching their favorite show or something like that. Many of us don't find that joy until later. It's as if the sun just rips that joy right out of them as it rises in the eastern sky. We all know some of those people. I'm not going to look at my wife right now. She'll tell you she's not a morning person. But we all know some of those people. In our text, God is giving us a command about joy. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always." Rejoice always. Now, you may be sitting there going, but it says rejoice. Doesn't that mean praise? Doesn't that mean singing? Doesn't that mean telling God that you love Him? Doesn't that mean that? In order to understand this verse completely, you have to go back to the original language that it was written in. Because in the Greek phrase used in this verse is actually... And I practice this, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but it is chairo. Chairo. You got to get a little bit of that phlegm going on. Chairo. And that's the word that was used for rejoice, and it means rejoice, joy, or joyful. There's another version that says, be joyful always. There's another version that says that. That's what it actually means. And then the panettote, which is always or evermore. It was even used as a greeting as people saw each other. They would look at each other and go, "Chairo!" And somebody would wipe their face after they spit all over them. "Chairo to you too." But the thing is, they would want joy in people's lives, so they would greet each other and say, "Chairo! Chairo today! Chairo panettote!" And they would shout it to one another to say, "Be joyful. Be joyful today." That's what God was telling us, is He wants us to have joy in our life. But the problem is we have let our joy be stolen by the cares of this world so many days. We let it be stolen by the news, when we hear about everything going on in the world, and how we have this murder suspect that's loose, or we have this situation that has fallen apart in the Mideast, or we have this situation in the government that is hurting us right now. We have this mandate, or we have this situation. All these things. Galatians 5:22, the same word, that same word, chairo, was used in another verse in Galatians 5:22, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, chairo, joy." The fruit of the Spirit is joy. You know what God is telling us when He says rejoice always, or be joyful always? He's saying bear this fruit every day. Have joy. Every day have joy. Every day let it come out of you. Now some of you are sitting there going, it is impossible to be happy all the time. Y'all ever known somebody like that they just have a smile on their face all the time and you want to slap them every now and then? It's like, they're like, "Praise God, I got a flat tire." And you're going, "I'm going to smack you." You got some people that are just so happy all the time. Now, I understand. We don't put on a face when things go bad and go, "Praise God, I just love that I got that bad report from the doctor. It's just awesome." No, that's not what the Bible's talking about when it says rejoice always or be joyful always. It means something different, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. We sit there and we say it's impossible all the time. Now, here's where people make a mistake, though. Everybody say mistake. Notice God did not tell you be happy all the time. He said be joyful all the time. He didn't say be happy. Here's the problem. We have people mistaking happiness for joy and spending their life chasing events, careers, and possessions and people to make them happy. They think, if I just get this job, then I'm going to be happy and I can have joy in my life. I'm going to be happy. If I can just marry this type of person, I can be happy. If I can make this much money, I can be happy. If I can just make sure that I do this thing in my life, then I can be happy. We sit there and we think, I can be happy with this. I can be happy with that. But the thing is, we chase all these events, and the thing is, the happiness wears off. Because happiness is not internal. Happiness is controlled by external circumstances. Joy is different from that. When the Bible says to rejoice or to be joyful always, it means something different. Happiness is controlled by outside circumstances, but the joy of the Lord is internal. It's something that springs from within you. It's something that springs from inside of you. Everybody say inside. When we have Christ in our lives and let the Spirit guide us, we have that Cairo joy on the inside of us. As long as we chase external happiness, we will never be filled with the joy that God desires in our lives. See, we spend our lives pursuing happiness and not pursuing God's joy. We spend our time pursuing things and not His presence. We spend our time pursuing material rather than His anointing and His touch in our lives. There's a difference between the two. Happiness will wane with our circumstances. Case in point, I'm happy when I get a present. How many of y'all are happy when you get a present? I'm happy when I get a present. But after a while, you don't have that same joy about that present, do you? Matter of fact, some of us, we're about to get into the Christmas season, and we'll have these presents that are brought to us, and we'll have it, and I'm so glad I got this. And then next thing you know, 6 months later, it's in a closet somewhere. It's stuck in a box because we don't use it at that time. And that joy, when we look at it, we don't look at it with happiness anymore. We look at it going, man, I got to find some place to store that. Because the happiness wanes because of external circumstances. But joy is on the inside of us. Everybody say joy. Joy is on the inside. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, by the power of things. Or by the power of situations. No, it doesn't say any of that. It says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God does not bring things into our life to make us happy. He brings His presence to give us joy. Even when we try to find our joy in people, we're going to end up falling and failing. Because people make mistakes. No matter how great they are, no matter how high up the ladder they are, no matter how perfect you think that. Listen, I don't care, husbands, how perfect you think your wife is. She's going to make a mistake every now and then. And listen, I hate to break it to my wife, but I know I'm perfect and all, but I'm going to make a mistake every now and then. Right? Okay, y'all didn't have to laugh at me. Okay, but when we try to put our joy on somebody, and again, when we try to draw our joy from people, we're putting something on them that they can't carry. We're putting a burden on them that they can't carry. The Holy Spirit, it says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of people, not by the power of your husband, not by the power of your wife, not by the power of your circumstance, but by the power of the Holy Spirit is where that joy is going to come from. Stop chasing the external and seek the one that fills you from the inside out. Seek the one that's going to fill you from the inside out. If you understand me, say, I do. He wants to fill us. God wants to fill you with the joy of His Spirit. Everybody say joy. He also wants something else. Again, we talked about he wants to fill us with joy, but God also desires persistence from us. Everybody say persistence. Persistence. I know that's a hard one. Persistence. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Now, how many of y'all are like me when you were younger, when you heard that verse, or pray continually? When you heard that verse, you thought, well, I got to walk around praying all the time. So as you walk through, you were, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this bench. I thank you for the carpet that I'm walking on. I thank you for these chairs. I thank you for this situation. I thank you that you're touching them. Somebody comes up to talk to you. Hey, how you doing? I can't talk to you. I'm still praying. And you're just praying constant. And you're just sort of saying words out loud. How many? When I was young, that's what I thought it was. That you had to be in a constant state of prayer, constant state of saying something, constant state of telling God things and sharing things with Him and telling Him your needs, your wants, your desires, all these things. For years, people automatically assumed that this was meant that you had to walk around physically praying all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that you can pray at all times. I can believe that you can pray as you're riding down the road. I believe you can pray as you're walking through Walmart. I believe you can pray as you're sitting in your classroom. Listen, there's an old joke about schools that says they will never get rid of every prayer out of school as long as there's still a test in school. Because you know those kids are sitting over that, Lord Jesus, I know I didn't study, but Lord, help me. And listen, as long as there's tests, there'll be prayer in school. Listen, I'm there. I was one of those kids. I had to do that. But for years, people automatically assume that. And I'm in a constant state of prayer where God and I are always in a conversation. There's times, as long as you are listening to God, you're still in that time. You're still in that conversation with Him. You can hear God walking in Walmart. You can hear God driving down the road. Some of us, we need to pray a little bit more going down the road. Listen, there's times where I pray really hard going down the road, especially when I'm turning onto certain roads off of Quintard, man. There was one day I almost got ran over twice. But there's a few roads like that you got to pray on. There, it usually goes like this. I'm in a constant state of prayer where I'm usually talking to God and I'm speaking with Him. But I may not be saying it out loud. There's something on the inside of me going, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. And I'm just saying, God, every time I walk through these doors, God, thank you that you put me here at this church. God, thank you for bringing me to Aniston. Thank you for touching my life. Listen, I even pray over my fish when I catch them. Anybody else like that? Listen, I do it. I'll sit there and I'll hook me a good old bass or something like that, or a crappie or something like that. And I'll reel it in, and I'll bring it in, and I'll hold it up, and I'll say, thank you, Lord. And then, of course, I kiss the top of the fish, throw it on back. And all the women are going, ew. But the thing is, you throw it on back. I pray over my fish. I pray over everything. I pray over my family. I pray over my food. I pray over my dogs. Everything. I pray over it. But the thing is, what that verse meant was not necessarily that you had to always be talking and always be doing. The text we're using is not about that, but it's about being persistent when we see no answer to those prayers. When it says pray continually, it's not talking about always be talking. But what it is saying is when you pray and you don't hear something, pray again. When you speak to God and you don't get an answer, speak to Him again. That's what it means in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's just like the story of the persistent widow. The persistent widow, she had an issue that she brought before a judge, and she would tell this judge, listen, this person has wronged me. I want you to go, and I want you to take care of this. It's found in Luke chapter 18, if you want to go and read it later. I want you to take care of this for me. I want you to handle it for me, and I want you to see that I have justice. But the judge did not fear God nor man. The Bible says he did not fear God nor man, so he did not care about what happened to this widow, and he just kept telling her, nah, just just kick her out, kick her out. I don't care nothing about it. I don't care nothing about what's going on. I don't care. But she kept coming back again and again and again and again and again. How many of y'all have kids like that? You tell them no, and they come back. Mama, can I? Daddy, can I? Mama, can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? Finally, you're like, fine. Here's a dollar. Go do whatever you're going to do, or whatever you're going to do. The persistent widow, she finally wore him down. And in Luke 18:6, it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? In other words, the judge finally said, take care of this before this woman worries me to death. If this unjust judge, this man that had no fear of God and no fear of man, can do the right thing, what do you think our God does when we bring our request to him? He looks at us and says, I'm wanting to change this for you. It may be in my timing, but I want to change it for you. Bring it to him again and again. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Problem is, we get to the point where we quit praying. We say, well, it must not be God's will. If I had quit praying for my wife, for the wife that I was going to have, I never would have gotten married. I never would have found Amy. If I had quit praying for certain situations in my life, then I wouldn't be standing where I am today. If I had quit praying for lost loved ones that weren't serving God, then right now they would be dying and going to hell. Don't give up on your conversation with God. Don't give up on your conversation. Everybody say, don't give up. Don't give up on your conversation with God. The Bible says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Just because he hasn't answered doesn't mean he can't hear you. Let me say that one more time. Just because God has not answered you doesn't mean that he hasn't heard your cry. Think about the Israelites. For 400 years, 400 years, between the last prophet that spoke a word of God over the people, there was 400 years between him and Jesus Christ. 400 years of silence from God. 400 years of no word from God. 400 years of no more prophecies, no more encouragement, no more people, no more word from God saying, hey, let's do this. My answer's on the way. 400 years. But God heard every cry. And the answer was on the way. Y'all hear me say that a lot. The answer was on the way. 400 years. 400 years they prayed. 400 years that there was nothing between them. God desires our persistence. Everybody say persistence. In all that time, the people still cried out and they still sought God's face. They patiently and persistently and unceasingly carried on a conversation with God asking for a Messiah. The psalmist puts it like this. It's in Psalm 66:17-20. It says this, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my prayer. God has surely listened and heard my prayer. Nowhere in that verse. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and move on. Verse 20, where it says, praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. This psalmist had yet to see his prayers answered. How many of you are still waiting on unanswered prayers? Let me encourage you with this. This psalmist said, I may not see the answer, but I know that he hasn't rejected me. I know he hasn't rejected my prayer. I know he hasn't rejected my love. I know he hasn't turned a deaf ear to me. He has yet to see one piece of evidence that God has answered his prayer, yet he gives praise to God because he says, he heard me. Listen to me. If you are still waiting on unanswered prayers, don't give up. Don't give in. Just say to yourself, he may not have answered yet, but he has still heard. He may not have answered, and he may not be right here where I can see it, but he has still heard, and he has not rejected me. Listen, just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he's not in the midst of your circumstance. But I sure would like to see him move. I know you would. But God's timing is perfect. If he had answered you at this situation or that situation, it wouldn't have led to you relying on him in this situation. There are certain times where he withholds the answer so that we can learn a lesson. If you understand me, say, I do. When the answer is slow, God desires persistence from his people in prayer and faith that the answer is on the way. So he desires joy in our life. He desires persistence in our life. And the last thing he desires is appreciation. Everybody say appreciation. Or let's shorten that and just say thanks. Everybody say thanks. Again, it's Thanksgiving week. It's Thanksgiving week. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. In Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. Turn to somebody next to you and say, this is God's will for you. When Paul says this, remember who he's talking to. And you can start some music when you get ready. When he says this, he's speaking to the church at Thessalonica. Now you've got to know the history of the church. This church was a young church. It's a young church in Thessalonica that had been around just a few months. Paul, Silas, and some of the others had come through, and they had prayed, and they had spent time with these people in Thessalonica, and they had prayed over them, and they had built a church. They were a young church. They didn't know a whole lot about Scripture. They didn't know a whole lot about Christ. They didn't know a whole lot about the new way religion. They had been without a leader and a guide from that time. When they founded the church, Paul and the rest of them left. And they were without a leader to guide them and direct them. Whether they were without somebody to show them the way. They're starting to feel the persecution that the Christians of the day had been subject to. Because at this point, Nero had started to persecute the Christians. Imagine being a young church. You had just been built, just starting to get your feet under you, and then your leadership is taken from you. The leadership is taken from you, and you're left there, and you're standing there, and you don't know what to do. And next thing you know, persecution starts coming your way, and people start to push you down and start to draw you down and start to make you feel like you're not worthy and start to make you feel like you shouldn't be there and start to tear you apart. And the thing is, Paul understood they were going through all of this, and he desired to go back to them, but he couldn't. So what advice could he give them? Pray. Always. Be joyful always. Pray always. And give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks when life is hard. Give thanks when life is awesome. Give thanks when you don't know if you're going to be able to get out of bed this day. Give thanks when you know the healing may not have arrived yet, but it's on its way. Give thanks when it's good. Give thanks when it's hard. We sang that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. The real test of our perseverance and a real test of our thanks and our appreciation to God is not whether we can thank Him in the middle of the good times. It's do we thank Him when we are in the hard times? When we're in a situation where we don't know if we're going to survive. When we're in a situation when we don't know if it's going to pan out our way. Paul wasn't telling them to thank God because he thought God needed a pat on the back. Although every father likes to hear his children appreciate what he does for them, this is not the purpose of God telling us to give him thanks. The purpose was to remind the people of the Thessalonian church of the blessings they already have. One of the reasons we do Thanksgiving is not so that we can thank God once a year for everything, but so that we could understand we have something to thank Him for every day. We can thank Him for things every single day. Listen, the purpose was to remind the people that they have of the Thessalonian church, that they have blessings that they can thank Him for, to remind them that grace and mercy is offered to them on every single day, that His mercies are new every morning, to remind them that the blood that was shed for them, to remind them to bring to their memory all the times that God has come through for them. When we are reminded of His blessings, when we thank Him for the small things, it reminds us that He's with us in the small and in the big. Even though our circumstances and our situations might be dire and dark, we serve a God that is faithful and handles every small detail. How often do we thank God for the blessings over us? Like I said, I thank him for the fish that I catch. I thank Him for a good day out on the lake, even if I don't catch nothing. I thank Him for getting me home safely. In today's society, that's a big thing. From the big to the small, it doesn't matter how horrible you think your situation might be, there is always something that we can praise Him for. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. I debated on putting this in there, but you know, your thanks might be the gateway into your blessing. Your thanks might just be the key to unlocking the doors of God, to unlocking the windows of blessing in your life. We spend a lot of time saying, God, I need this. God, I need this. God, I need this. But how often do we spend time saying, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. And I thank you for this. So like a child, we have our children, they come to us for Christmas and they say, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. But they don't thank us for what they got last year. They don't thank us for what we've already bought for them. They don't think, you know, sometimes we just got to say, God, you know what? I thank you. I thank you. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. That's why it says in everything. Or in every situation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, give thanks in every circumstance. Notice it didn't say give thanks for every circumstance. I'm not going to sit there and thank God that I'm sick. That's crazy. God, I thank you that I'm dealing with this sickness in my life. No. But what I will do is I'll turn around and say, God, I thank you that you're teaching me something through this and that there is a purpose behind this. We don't thank God for the bad situations, but we thank Him in spite of them. We thank Him during them because we know He is the one that's going to see us through it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, again, our text, where it says, always be joyful. This is the New Living Translation. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. Now let me read that in the Amplified Version. It says, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Find joy in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter the circumstances. Be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know that phrase, in every situation, and I'm closing. That phrase, in every situation, was not meant just for the give thanks. If you look at the original scripture, you know, we've got a lot of stuff as in English that we add this and we add that. We've got an exclamation point with this. If you look at the way it was written, that was written as one phrase. Be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks in every situation. That in every situation and every circumstance was meant to cover all three of them. No matter how dark it is, there's joy in the Lord. No matter whether you've received your answer or not, pray continually in every circumstance. And whether it's the answer you want or not, give him thanks in every situation. I'm encouraging you today, as we're about to partake of our meal, give thanks, pray continually, and receive the joy of the Lord. Don't chase happiness through people or situations or material things. Seek the joy of God. Be joyful in every situation. Be persistent no matter what. And to be thankful in every circumstance, because that is the very will of God for you in Christ Jesus. For every person in this room, every person online, those three things are something every one of us need to take with us. If you understand me, say I do. Let's stand today. Father God, right now I thank you for every person in this room. Lord, there's such a sweet presence in this room. Oh, I worship you. God, right now I pray that you would bring joy. Right now, Lord, those that are dealing with situations that have stolen their joy, God, restore joy to our hearts. Let us know that the joy